in Sacramento. Yeah, I might be in Fresno town.
Stay tuned now for Clearing the Air with your host today, Jim Compton Schmidt.
Thank you, Annie. It is Clearing the Air, and I'm not Kevin Hall. So if you were expecting that, why, you're in for a different kind of a treat. Today we've got a couple of very special guests in. Mark Stout, who was a air quality consultant for Metro Ministries here in Fresno and in the Fresno area, and then of course a good friend of this station and a good friend of the environment in the community, Dr. David Pepper, who is with the university, Fresno State University, and also community hospitals. And we're going to talk about some specific things that are taking place later on as we get to them, a couple of bills that we need to take up and talk in terms of what we can do as listeners and as activists within the community to push these forward. There are state bills that are in the process, and one of them may be on its last leg. We'll talk about that later. But at this particular point, I'd like to kind of, if we could, because if you're not aware of it, Dr. Pepper, David Pepper, is going to be leaving the community, and he's going to be leaving the community in such a short time that he's going to have to talk fast or he's going to be out of town before this program's
right.
over.
Not quite, Jim, not quite.
I want to talk a little bit about perspective with Dr. Pepper as it relates to what's happened in the time that that you've been in this community. And you know, as we talk, we'll talk about the things that have changed, the things that have not changed in a number of other areas as well. But how, as you come to an end of your experience, at least this time in Fresno, what are the kind of perspectives that you have about what's going on here? In the area, the environment.
Let's talk about the air specifically. You know, a lot has changed, and I think a lot has changed for the positive. It's been 16 years for me here in Fresno, and I'm going back to San Francisco, and I'm actually with UC San Francisco, not Fresno.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
That's okay. And that's for family reasons, but, you know, there have been doctors who've left Fresno because of the air quality, and I think we're seeing a lot more activity, a lot more awareness, a lot more ability of people to understand what they can do. You know, when I first started getting involved, as far as, you know, I got into the asthma program with Kevin Hamilton about 8 or 9 years ago, and then we started looking at these huge asthma rates, and then we started looking at why Fresno had huge asthma rates, and we started looking at air pollution, and, you know, it was fairly clear that we had some of the worst, in fact, now the worst air in the nation. You know, nobody was really heard of it. You know, you go back 5 years and you'd say air quality and people would say, huh? Well, what's that? You know? You're like, well, you can't see the mountains. They're like, yeah. Well, you know, that's what LA was like, right?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so now I think, you know, the Fresno Bee brought a lot of attention with its last gasp. We've seen, you know, everybody talking about the air quality to the point that now people know what the AQI, the air quality index, is. You know, people, there's flags being raised at schools that talk about the yellow and red days, you know, that people should be very cautious or even not going outside at. And people are starting to not burn their fireplace. They're starting to think about, you know, buying a big car because they know that cars are part of the problem.
Right.
So the level of community awareness, not only in the progressive community, but in the general community. I got a call just the other day from a Latino group that's going to be meeting with the mayor of Fresno. And they said, listen, you know, air quality is one of our main issues we want to talk to the mayor about.
Yeah.
So, you know, that change has been dramatic.
I've seen a couple of things, even in the period of time when I've really been interested in this, and one of them has to do with our other guest, Mark Stout, but the Hispanic community
mm-hmm.
has really, really taken this on, and yep. for obvious reasons, they're more susceptible. Especially the field workers are more susceptible. I hope that's not a racist comment that I just made. But the people who are working on the ground outside are
right.
more susceptible to what's going on here. I guess a question that I would ask, maybe that fits into the not changing area, mm-hmm. is: do you find rural people are coming on board with this as well or not?
Yeah, we're finding both. I mean, if you look at people like Ray Leon and Latino Issues Forum,
yeah.
You know, and can't help but think about them and MAPA, the Mexican American Political Association, Ben Benavides, down in Parlier. There have been, concerns both from air quality and then I think specific air toxins like pesticides, and Teresa DeAnda. People have gotten concerned because there's this environmental justice issue, and people are thinking, but also because Hispanics make up 40% of the population here. So, and one of the things that I've been saying for a number of years, and not that it's not an environmental justice issue, and some of it may be farming related, pesticides and chemicals, some of it may be where you live. If you live closer to freeways or if you drive dirtier cars, and some of it's an economic issue. But really, because we're in this air basin, Jim, mm-hmm. because we're in a bowl, it doesn't matter where you live in the bowl.
Right.
You think, I'll move to Clovis. Clovis got some of the worst ozone and worst air anywhere because it sort of all eddies around there. So the bad news is, it's bad everywhere. The good news is, because it's bad everywhere, everybody needs to embrace it. So I think when you're saying you're seeing the Latino, Hispanic community embracing it, I think they are. But, there's the, a study my son was involved in and got, front page on the B there, looking at the rates in the schools of asthma.
Yeah.
And in fact, it's the rich white kids in the north end of town.
Yeah.
And I'm sure we've got some listeners on KFCF who live up in that area. Their kids 20 to 25% of asthma, whereas you go down to Roosevelt, you're looking at 10 to 12. Now, that may be a reporting issue, and it may be an access issue. But, and people say, it destroyed that. They do have it down there. Well, what? If they've got a higher rate, then they've got 35%. We're just not picking it up. So, when 20 to 25% of white privileged children have asthma, I don't care if it's 22% or 30% of Latino kids, everybody's got it. So I think, and my own perspective, when we sort of say, it's their issue, or, it's only affects the, air quality, everybody.
Where I want to come in while we're talking about this, and this is really an organizational question, Mark, has to do with the fact that I don't know how long the Metro Ministries, for example, how long this has been a priority for them. I know that in just visiting with you that you've been on board something over a year, but did they have an air quality consultant before you came on board?
Fresno Metro Ministries had an air quality and environmental health program for over 2 years now.
Okay.
Carolina Simonovich is the director of that program, and we look forward to her coming back from maternity leave here any day now. Her sister's doing a great job, Daniela, of carrying the torch. But they've had that for over 2 years, and that's, it's a full-time staff program that includes consultants like myself.
Right.
So it's definitely.
How many people are there in that environmental group with Metro Ministries?
And in terms of staff, we're only talking maybe two full-time equivalents or something like that.
Well, that's pretty good, though, isn't it? And for a ministry group to be that deeply involved with air quality issues?
Well, air quality usually ranks as the highest issue of concern in the population here in Fresno County.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you look at the public polls of what issues people are concerned about, air quality oftentimes is the top issue.
Okay.
And it impacts people on every end of the income spectrum, as David mentioned, not only the affluent as well as low to mid income folks.
I guess what I'm getting at, and this is an indication of my provincialism, if I was just coming into this community and thinking in terms of groups that would be working on environmental issues, I wouldn't necessarily think in a conservative community like this that the Metro Ministries would be the place where you would have at least two people who would be concentrating their energy on this.
Well, and Metro Ministries is one of the founding members of the Central Valley Air Quality Coalition, which now has over 50 member organizations, including local groups like Fresno Metro Ministry, as well as statewide national groups like Sierra Club California, Union Concerned Scientists. These 50 organizations really span the spectrum. So a lot of them are coming at it from a public health perspective. Fresno Metro Ministry has had a healthcare access program for years and years
yeah.
and years.
Yeah.
And I think this is just an extension okay. of the healthcare access program that we have.
Which would make sense, but, you know, there's a lot going on in the world that doesn't make sense as it relates to who should be doing what. For example, in my personal opinion, I need to be, and I think if this is going to change, that I need to have farmers in here talking about what they're doing to help solve the air problems in this community. I've yet to have a farmer. I mean, I've got a couple of listeners who talk to me and appreciate what we do on this program, but I've yet to have a farmer call me up and say, hey, this is what I'm doing, you know, and blah, blah, blah. That, you know, I'm talking about a Western County person. That's the point that I'm getting at. What kind of people, you know, if you want to talk about people, which is what we're doing at this particular, what kind of change of, as it relates to people's involvement have you seen in the period of time that you've been here?
Right? Well, I think Mark alluded to CVAC, the Central Valley Air Quality Coalition, which I was a part of the founding. Our
right.
MAHA, the Medical Advocates for Healthy Air.
Right. How many physicians were there in that?
Three physicians and Kevin Hamilton were really the founding okay. were the founding members.
Excuse me for interrupting.
No, that's fine. You know, but it is people, Jim. And I think we are seeing, you know, obviously there are organizations yeah. like the CARB, the California Air Resources Board, and the local San Joaquin Valley Air Pollution Control District, the governmental side of regulatory agencies, which have jurisdiction over point sources, you know, factories, things that are standing still. Mobile sources is a different issue, and that's where sort of the state is really going up against the feds. And,
yeah.
I think there's some interesting opportunities there. We'll talk about SB1, I think, in a bit when we talk about the solar homes. And California's been a leader in air quality for vehicle control for many years. Those of us who
yeah.
have been in California long enough remember the 60s driving down to L.A. You know, you'd go over the Grapevine and you go into that brown haze that burned your eyes.
Right.
And that's ozone.
Yeah.
And, of course, now people from L.A. drive over the Grapevine and come into the brown haze here. You got it backward. But, you know, the people who are getting involved are both at the agency level and starting to impact that, starting to impact bills, starting to – you're seeing legislators, people
yeah.
like Dean Flores,
yeah.
Juan Arambula, who've emerged and are willing to take a stand based on what they hear from their people. So we're seeing, you know, legislators. We're seeing – I think we're seeing some farmers. You know, they've gotten beaten up pretty good, but – Dean Flores passed some bills that stopped open field burning.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry. I don't need to apologize. In a bowl, if you want to make it a toilet bowl, then you burn stuff.
Yeah.
You know, we could talk about the cattle, and if you want to make it a toilet bowl, then you bring in a lot of cow shit.
I just wanted to chime in on the dairy cow issue,
yeah.
And farmers beginning to work on air quality. And we can definitely thank Dean Flores's SB 700 series for finally bringing agriculture under the regulatory fold.
Yeah.
But now, Carolina Simonovich was one of the over at Fresno Metro Ministry was one of the members of the Dairy Permitting Advisory Group that has been meeting for months along with your colleague Kevin Hamilton
right.
and trying to figure out what are the real emissions of dairy cows.
Yeah.
And they are joined in that permitting advisory group with representatives from the dairy industry, you know, farmers, farmer lobbyists, cheese company representatives, all kinds of people here in the valley that...
That's where there's some room for growth, though. One of the things that I was a little disappointed about that, you know, there was a group that was charged with looking at the science. And they looked at all the science and they came out with this number that said a cow makes, you know, 20 pounds of air pollution a year in terms of this one component, what the VOX of volatile organic compounds. Well, within 3 or 4 days, you had 5 legislators who had nothing to do and didn't even take the time to read the report, criticizing the report, saying, oh, that number is too high, because they've been called by their
sure.
dairy constituents
sure.
and their farmer. You know, that's got to stop.
Yeah. That's
you know, that is, I'm sorry. There's a few things, you know, and, you know, I'm going back to the Bay Area, and, you know, I'm sure there are people who are happy to see me go. Hopefully none of our listeners, but, you know, the KMJ listeners or something. But, you know, I'm sorry.
No haters. No haters.
No. I got to listen to those shows, too. But, you know, if you really want health,
no,
and I think, you know, this is a fairly conservative community, it does bring up the issue of what's more important to you, the sort of financial health of the farm or the financial health of the people who work on there and the farmer's kids. And I've been saying for a long time, it goes back to that EJ, the environmental justice issue.
Right.
Once the farmers understand that it's not just the farm workers' children, but their own children that are getting polluted by their air, they're going to take a different stand. And we are seeing some farmers who are controlling the waste, who are recycling the waste, who are trapping the methane, using it for cogeneration. There are some very innovative farmers out there. There are also some farming voices that have a lot to learn and have a lot to see the other side.
Well, and that's, I think in terms of you know, and I hate to keep pointing to L.A., but, you know, something changed in L.A. between the 60s and today, and one of the reasons that it changed is everybody realized that they had to do something, or my assumption is that even the farmers or whoever it
was. Well, L.A. was different, though, Jim, because L.A. was mostly a car problem, which we're also facing now, but really what happened was people said, you know, we need regulations on cars, and we have California emission standards, and that's what happened, is you've got, you know, 10, 12, 15 million, whatever, 30 million in the LA basin, and where we've only got 4 million here. And 4 million is a lot of voices, but when you've got, you know, 500 voices like Harris Ranch and an individual person who has 200,000 head of cattle, you know, at $1,000 each, he's got, you know, multiple millions at stake, and he's going to put his money where his mouth is. And when people start doing that with their $10 and $50 and contribute to people like Metro Ministries, you know, who have put their, you know, their money where their mouth is on what I would think is the right side of clean air, then we're going to see that, and we're going to see a lot of people getting together, and we are seeing that.
Okay. Well, let's talk a little bit about that, especially as it relates to a couple of things that we want to talk about today, having to do with the two bills that that we want to look at. First of all, let's talk about the SB1, which was the interesting that we've got SB1 and SB999, which is must be at both ends of the spectrum here or something.
Well, they're both good bills, but that is an interesting insight. Typically, people laugh that the SB1 is the coveted number to get first out of the chute. But SB999, that bill is in its third year, and I think this is going to be the year for it.
Okay.
But let's focus on the Million Solar Roofs Bill, SB1, for a moment.
Okay.
Basically, what SB1 would do is create a stable, declining incentive to both individual homeowners as well as businesses that choose to put solar up on their roofs. So you would have a pool of money that's generated by a small surcharge on your PG&E bill, just like we have a current public goods charge. This would just increase it. We're talking, you know, to give you an idea, when we have rate increases that whop people in the wallet, those are like 10% rate increases.
Yeah.
That's, you know, people start to feel that. This is more like a 1% surcharge. That would create a pool of money that then people could get incentives to put solar up on the roof, and it would basically make it so that putting solar up, as time goes on, the amount could go down because solar is becoming less expensive.
Okay.
But to make it a break even opportunity for folks, so they don't have to, you know, put a lot of money out in order to invest in solar.
Okay.
So basically, they could have the between the incentive money that they would get from SB1, as well as their energy savings on not having an electricity bill,
it
about break even.
Okay.
And then the nice thing for them is then generally once the system's paid for itself, they also get free electricity after that.
Right.
So we see that this would be a very popular program, just as the existing incentive programs are. The amount of money would start at the same level that we see right now from the state of California, which for homeowners is $2.80 a watt.
Okay.
And just like Japan's 10-year program, that it's now in its final year, is about to sunset, it would decline down to zero over a 10-year period. Japan each year puts in a quarter billion watts of solar electricity.
Wow.
So it's 250 megawatts. And to put that in perspective, the entire state of California has jumped up to, since the energy crisis, 100 megawatts total over that four-year period since 2001. But Japan is putting in 2.5 times as much each year, and their subsidy is almost gone.
Okay.
They've basically fully commercialized solar.
Okay.
And that's, you know, when you talk about what people can do in an area where we've got the sun to harvest in the summertime, and people are then using the energy, you know, in other ways, if we can use it to run our air conditioners, run our pool pumps. That's that much less in terms of electricity. And that also, I think, gives people opportunities to think about electric cars or electric vehicles. Or because, you know, when you really get down to what people can do, I think SB1's a great bill.
Yeah.
I think it's going to... The only reason it's not being perceived by both sides is because it is coming from both sides.
Okay.
But when people get together, I think it's a great opportunity, particularly for the Valley, where we've got so much sun.
What, why don't I just kind of give you a kind of a who's supporting the bill
and what
the dynamics are. It's a bipartisan bill coming from Senator Murray's and Senator Campbell's office. Senator Murray's a Democrat from L.A. Campbell's a Republican from Orange County. You know, perfect. And it's got the support of... Governor Schwarzenegger, as well as the support of the Assembly Utilities Chair Lloyd Levine. He's also a co-author.
What are we looking at then as it relates to that particular bill? What should the listeners, and we're going to talk on in several places today about what can people do? How can our listeners support that that bill?
Okay, right now the bill is going to be coming up for a vote on the Assembly floor in the next week or two. And so our radio listeners, if they go to environmentcalifornia.org,
environmentcalifornia.org,
and then just click on Take Action for SB1, and that will give them an automated way they can send a message to the Speaker of the California State Assembly.
And that's who is the Speaker?
Oh, it's Assemblyman Nunez.
Okay, and if people knew him personally and wanted to call him, that would be a good deal too.
I'm sure that would be wonderful as well.
Okay.
But just for the easiest thing that listeners could do is go to environmentcalifornia.org, and the Take Action link will send a message to Assemblyman Nunez, the Speaker of the California State Assembly, because it's right now one of the critical things that's going on is just in the bill amendment process. We're kind of striking a balance between making sure we can continue to get Governor Schwarzenegger's support and his signature, as well as take care of the interests of organized labor. And so that's the kind of balancing act the bill's going through right now.
Okay, great. Mm-hmm. Excellent. Okay, that takes care of one of the bills that we want to talk about. Do we want to talk about the preparation for 999 before we talk about it as a bill?
It's a complex issue. This is the bill, in short, puts a physician on the San Joaquin Valley Air Pollution Control District. When it was originally written, I was kind of in the room when people started talking about it. I started looking around. I was like, I was the only doctor. So with me leaving, I don't know. SB1 is a slam dunk.
Okay.
It's 999, I think, is clearly a good idea to have a physician who's concerned about the air quality and concerned about public health.
Right.
Now, not all physicians are on the left of center.
Right.
And David's got a hammer and it looks like a nail, of course.
I couldn't help but think, if you and I were having this discussion by ourselves, my guess is we wouldn't have gone to
actually,
the doctor.
I feel like the nail with SB99 a little. So, it's maybe the other way around. That may be a discussion.
I just want to mention, in addition to the physician that would be added to the governing board of the San Joaquin Valley Air Pollution Control District, SB999 would also add another public appointment, which would be an air quality environmental scientist, as well as giving permanent seats to the three major cities in the valley, so Fresno, Stockton, and Bakersfield.
Okay.
And so it's by adding those four additional seats, it would move the air board from 11 members to 15 members. But right now, basically the board is dominated by county board of supervisors,
right.
Which except for our wonderful Susan Anderson here in Fresno County, who has a breath of fresh air on the board, generally they tend to be pretty cozy with big agriculture and oil producers down south.
Okay, and where is this bill at this particular point, and what, again, can listeners do around this process?
Okay, SB999 has been voted out of Assembly Appropriations, and it's going to be going to a vote on the Assembly floor. I got all that straight. Senate bills. Of course, winds up in the Assembly before going back for Senate confirmation. Really what needs to happen here is Assemblymember Juan Arambula has made a commitment to help jockey the bill through the Assembly floor, and he's getting a lot of communication from the opposition.
I bet he is.
Yeah, of course. And I think industry's figured out that, like, oh, wow, this actually did well on the Senate side.
Yeah.
It got
yeah.
through all the committees on the Assembly side. Well, you know, I think the polluters are starting to flip out right now. And so they're all leaning on Assemblyman Arambula. And the best thing that listeners could do is to call Assemblyman Arambula's office in Sacramento, and I'll give you the phone number, and tell him that, you know, we appreciate his support for SB 999 and, you know, just ignore the voices that want to see business as usual, and let's get this good public health bill in this year.
Okay.
And so the phone number...
Let's give a phone number right now.
For Assemblymember Arambula is
916-319-2031. Okay.
And that's a good one. Jim, I think it's also in the last 5 minutes, it's good to talk about what people can do.
Okay.
In addition to sort of being involved and putting pressure and, you know, two bills there, there's some really simple things people can do. Tell their gardener not to use a leaf blower. Don't blow all that stuff and use two-cycle engines. They really ought to think about before they get out on any two-cycle engine. That includes jet skis, motorcycles, you know, anything, any vehicle. In general, what we've found scientifically is the worst exposure you have is when you get in your car and you're following all these other cars, diesel cars, big cars. You know, buy a Prius. Don't make a fire in your fireplace ever again. Get a gas insert. I mean, there's some very specific things that we can all do as individuals. And, you know, we can pass laws that ban all fireplaces, which actually just happened in new homes. We can pass even stronger bills. Sonoma passed one that, you know, anytime a house is sold, you have to either brick it in or convert it. You know, which
wow.
And they had one day of exceedance.
Yeah.
We have 150. So there's some real specific things that people can do. And again, just, you know, ride your bike, right? Don't use a bunch of chemicals. Don't use your car, you know, to drive to the store for a quart of milk. Knock on your neighbor's door for glass, you know, or trip link, you know, carpooling. Getting rid of our use on oil, really.
Yeah.
And that's also, of course, going to free us up from dependence on foreign oil and lots of other good things that you know will make us safer in this world.
Okay.
I had a couple of sort of more things you can do ideas. As far as individual behavior, things to do to help clean the air, I think that's one thing we can actually look to our local air district. They've got a lot of great educational materials on individual actions we can take in order to clean the air. Their website is valleyair.org. And in terms of political action and getting involved with the movement to really reform things, shake up the air district, get some effective health voices on, I want you to go to the Central Valley Air Quality Coalition's website, and that's calcleanair.org.
Okay.
So a lot of information at that site. Tremendous resource for people who want to get more involved.
Okay, let's do that one again, because I've got people out there scrambling for their pencils to write this down. Give me the last one,
Okay, the Central Valley Air Quality Coalition, our website is calcleanair.org.
Okay. www.calcleanair.org.
Okay.
All one word.
Okay.
And let's see, we've got a couple things here. Also, Dr. David Pepper here, I hear that you and Kevin Hamilton won an award from Physicians for Social Responsibility.
Yeah, we did.
And
yeah, going down to Los Angeles to accept that October 14th, that's a nice award. It was won by Howard Dean last year, and we're sharing it with Heinz Kerry. This year. So, yeah, it's a nice award. And it's, you know, I won't say payment for the work, but, you know, validation of what we've been in. And I'm
sure.
Proud and not that I'm handing anything off, because I'll still be involved, Mark. But, yeah, what else we have?
And we have a going away party for Dr. Pepper
right.
over at Full Circle Brewery.
Right, if you have questions for Mark or I, right, Full Circle Brewery Sunday.
This Sunday night.
Right.
Is it 5 to 8? What's
5 to 8. Bands are at 6 and 7. It's a $5 benefit for Food Not Bombs. So you can get your stomach full, you can drink some beer, you can hear some good music, and if you have more questions, you can ask us.
And buy a beer for Dr. Pepper.
Well,
yeah, right.
Okay. Yeah, I hope he's got a designated driver.
I was thinking in terms of that new doctor who's coming down. His last name's Cola. Maybe he could come on here. Would be Dr. Pepsi Cola.
Yeah, right.
Would be. Maybe not. Okay. Well, at any rate, we've been having an opportunity. Any last words from either one of you two guys? We've got about 2 minutes left, Annie tells me. So.
Well, Jim, I appreciate you having us both on the show. Yeah, and the big thing I want folks out in the audience to remember is we have 2 weeks till the end of this legislative season, and we have two big bills in the state assembly. And please help us do something about our air. Go to environmentcalifornia.org, send that support for the Million Solar Roofs bill, and call Assemblyman Juan Arambula, Sacramento.
Right. And the other things you can do are the things we all do in our daily life and our choices in terms of, living a clean life. I mean, it's the air we all breathe.
Right.
And I think, in my parting, as you say, this time from Fresno, I think if anybody's like, oh, no, you can't go, because I know Kevin Hall said that, hey, I can go because the rest of us, or the rest of you, are all empowered and much more knowledgeable for what we know.
We're hip.
There you go.
Okay, Ron Arambula's phone number again is 916-319-2031.
And the main message there is stay strong on your support for SB 999.
Yep.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
We've got Juan and Dean Flores, too.
Yeah, of course, Dean Flores needs to be thanked every time we get an opportunity.
Every time, you betcha.
We've been talking with Mark Stout with Metro Ministries, an air quality consultant there, and Dr. David.